A ghost.
This time, I remembered, I was lying in the oak closet, and I heard distinctly the gusty wind and the driving of the snow. I heard, also, the fir bough repeat its teasing sound and ascribed it to the right cause. But it annoyed me so much that I resolved to silence it, if possible. And, I thought, I rose and endeavoured to unhasp the casement. The hook was soldered into the staple, a circumstance observed by me when awake, but forgotten. I must stop it, nevertheless, I muttered, knocking my knuckles through the glass and stretching an arm out to seize the importunate branch, instead of which my fingers closed on the fingers of a little ice-cold hand. The intense horror of nightmare came over me. I tried to draw back my arm, but the hand clung to it, and a most melancholy voice sobbed, "Let me in, let me in." "Who are you?" I asked, struggling meanwhile to disengage myself. "Catherine Linton," it replied, shiveringly. Why did I think of Linton? I had read Earnshaw 20 times for Linton. "I'm come home. I'd lost my way on the moor." As it spoke, I discerned, obscurely, a child's face looking through the window. Terror made me cruel, and finding it useless to attempt shaking the creature off, I pulled its wrist onto the broken pane and rubbed it to and fro till the blood ran down and soaked the bedclothes. Still it wailed, "Let me in," and maintained its tenacious gripe, almost maddening me with fear. "How can I?" I said at length. "Let me go, if you want me to let you in." The fingers relaxed. I snatched mine through the hall, hurriedly piled the books up in a pyramid against it, and stopped my ears to exclude the lamentable prayer. I seemed to keep them closed above a quarter of an hour, yet the instant I listened again, there was the doleful cry moaning on, "Begone," I shouted. "I'll never let you in, not if you beg for 20 years. "It is 20 years, mourned the voice, 20 years I've been a waif, for 20 years. Thereat began a feeble scratching outside, and the pile of books moved as if thrust forward. I tried to jump up, but could not stir a limb, and so yelled aloud in a frenzy of fright. To my confusion, I discovered the yell was not ideal. Hasty footsteps approached my chamber door. Somebody pushed it open with a vigorous hand, and a light glimmered through the squares at the top of the bed. I sat shuddering, yet, and wiping the perspiration from my forehead. The intruder appeared to hesitate and muttered to himself. At last, he said in half a whisper, plainly not expecting an answer, "Is anyone here?" I considered it best to confess my presence, for I knew Heathcliff's accents and feared he might search further if I kept quiet. With this intention, I turned and opened the panels. I shall not soon forget the effect my action produced.